2 Samuel chapter 5, and we're going to pick up in verse 17. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. Now, the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim, and David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines to you." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, "The Lord has burst through my enemies before me like a bursting flood." Therefore, the name of the place is called Baal Perazim, or literally the place means the Lord of bursting through, or the Lord of breakthrough. And the Philistines left their idols there, and David and his men carried them away. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, and he said, you shall not go up, go around their rear, and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of the marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then rouse yourself, for then the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines. And David did as the Lord commanded him, and struck down the Philistines from Geba to Gezer. What an amazing encounter. What an amazing encounter for David, learning how to do battle, learning how to gain victory. Just before I carry on, I just feel I do need to say this to you publicly, PJ. God's hand is on you in this next season for divine strategy. God is about to open your eyes to begin to see the dynamic of leadership and how leadership fits together, how eldership fits together, how you're to be connected in this next season. Some of your responsibilities are going to begin to change. Some of the things you're involved in, you're no longer going to be involved in. The Lord is going to raise up an increased fathering and intercessory anointing on you in this next season. And you will raise up men who will find their place in the church easily, who will find their position in the church easily. And God will give you insight and wisdom as to how to fit them together. God will give you insight and wisdom as to how to put them in the right place so that they thrive and become fruitful. And I believe even as David was able to, by inspiration, order the armies of God and set them in their right place, even so, God is going to begin to give you blueprints, and he's going to begin to give you insight as to how to order and set things in place beyond just a pastoral network, beyond just a pastoral ability, but even into a pioneering ability. And God says it's not just about the church, it's about the town of Bedford. It's about having a city view. It's about having an all-encompassing view. And God is going to begin to reveal some things to you in this next season so that you would bring incredible breakthrough in this next season. And so God is going to really pour out a spirit of intercession where you'll begin to understand the Father's heart, not simply to minister healing, but to mobilize an army. To mobilize an army. And so God's hand is on you in this next season, and you need to block some time out to enjoy him, because he wants to speak to you in this next season. Amen. Amen. That's called Holy Spirit inspired vacation. Sometimes you need to do that. It's so important. One of the things I love about David is that David is a man who illustrates what it's like to walk under the anointing of God. I've been teaching over the last few days at Heaven Touches Earth about the anointing. The anointing is a word that we simply use speaking of the enabling presence and power of God in the life of the believer. It's when God's Spirit comes upon flesh in order to do extraordinary things. When God comes upon human flesh, I don't know if you've noticed, but we can't do much without God. And we need his empowering presence. I love the phrase a little bit earlier in the book of 1 Samuel, or 2 Samuel, sorry, where it talks about the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. That phrase literally means it's like taking a jacket which represents David, just a flimsy old jacket, just a flimsy old piece of flesh, and the Spirit of the Lord comes and clothes himself with the very flesh of David. That's literally what that means. And I love that phrase, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you and completely clothes himself with you so that you begin to do extraordinary things. The other thing I love about David is David proved faithful at each level of the empowering presence of God. And you'll see that David goes through three anointings in his life. There are three times when he is smeared. That word anointing means to be smeared. I love that phrase because it kind of speaks of the word marinate. I was talking to some people about South Africa. We have what's called a braai. Now, a braai is like an English barbecue except there's real meat. We don't do the whole kind of pork sausage thing. We have beef. Good beef. You know, yummy. I'm starting to get hungry already. And I was speaking about how the anointing literally means to marinate. In fact, there are words in ancient recipes. I'm a bit of a chef. I love cooking. It's one of the things I do to relax. And there's some words like anointing, baptized, that was used as an everyday word to speak of covering a piece of meat with the marinade, which is why I love soaking so much. I get marinated in his presence. I want to be covered in his presence. I want to be filled with the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. And David was a man who loved the presence of God. David was a man who found himself faithful in the anointings God received. And the first anointing that God gave David was not in the public place. It was in the secret place. Just him and his brothers. And God, through the prophetic, calls David out of the desert place. It's interesting. David's living in the wilderness and he's learning how to fight with some bears and with some lions. And in that context, I love when you read the text, it says that Samuel says, there must be another one who I need to anoint. And Samuel prophetically calls David out of the wilderness place. And he says, we will not sit down until he comes here. And there's something about the prophetic that God's purposes will not relent until he has all of you. God's purposes will not keep quiet until he's fulfilled that which he has in you. And there's a sense in which the prophetic waits for God's man or woman to come out of the place, out of the wilderness. And as the prophetic then pours out this anointing, David is anointed as king over Israel. And the very next thing he does, good. There we go. The very next thing that David does is he goes and works with some eldership. So he gets an anointing. He gets incredible prophetic promises from God. And what does he do? This is God, David, you know, Ministries International. He goes and finds himself faithful, serving his father, looking after sheep. I've been around some farms where there's some sheep. They are not bright things. God doesn't use that analogy for nothing. They need a shepherd. Sheep are really not that bright. And I find it incredible. I can just imagine how boring it must have been for David. Yet he finds himself with an anointing in the secret place, and his response is worship. His response is faithfulness. And you know, God comes to us with an anointing and empowering of the presence of God. And there are different types of anointing, different times when he calls us into different seasons. And we would do well to recognize the season we're in so we can get maximum benefit. It's because David was in the wilderness that he learned how to fight against a bear and a lion. So when he saw Goliath, he said, you're too big and ugly to miss. I love David. He finds his best weapons in the river. You see, one of the things I'm learning is in the context of being in the river that I get stones that take out giants. And he took out five stones because he killed five giants, by the way. I love that about David. And David then gets a second anointing when he becomes king of Judah, as it were. And the very next thing that happens is David's got to go into some battle. In fact, most of the times when David receives an incredible anointing, there's a battle that follows. And I want you to know that when you've had a weekend like you've just had as a church, and there's an increase in the anointing and the authority of God, somebody once said, for every new level, there's a new devil. And I don't want to be spooky or weirded out, but I want you to know that there's a battle that you will need to contend in the heavenlies for concerning the increase of the anointing and the purposes of God. Which is why very often when you've had incredible encounters with God, and some of you will be able to witness with this, you have incredible encounters with the presence and the power of God, and the very next thing that happens is you've got to fight for some ground. I love David's anointing. When he gets anointed by God to become king in this particular context, in 2 Samuel chapter 5, something remarkable happens. When you fast forward into Acts chapter 13, when you quickly turn there, this is what God has to say about this moment in David's life. Acts chapter 13 and verse 22 says this. In verse 22, and when he had removed him, talking about Saul, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do my will. I always find this particular text amazingly interesting, that an all-knowing God finds a man. There's a wonderful scripture in John where it talks about God is seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Don't you find that fascinating? An all-knowing, omniscient God is looking for something on the earth today. He's wanting to find someone, a man, a woman with a heart after him. I want to be found by him. The Bible says in another place that God's eyes move to and fro, seeking those whose hearts are fully given to him, an undivided attention. One of the writers in the Song of Songs, Solomon, writes that he has dove's eyes for the one that he loves. And dove's eyes, When you look at what a dove's eyes can do, it's got no peripheral vision. It cannot see anything on the sides. It can only see what's in front. And there's something about David's heart that promotes him in the heart of God and makes him king over Israel because of an undivided heart, because of a heart that seeks after him. I want to be like that. I want to be found by an all-knowing God. I want to be found by God that has been seeking me out. Isn't that lovely? I just think that's amazing. And God anoints David. One of the things you'll find about the anointing, as I was saying a little bit earlier, is that the anointing sets you apart. It's kind of like the anointing puts you in a firing line sometimes. Because of the gifting and the calling of God. It was interesting just chatting to James and seeing some of the price that he's had to pay for the gift and the anointing that he carries. But you know, one of the things I've realized, even in my own life, in terms of carrying a prophetic anointing, carrying a gift that releases the presence of God, is that the price is insignificant in comparison to the prize, who is Jesus. Says of the Levites that they had no right to an inheritance because the Lord himself was their inheritance. And you know, sometimes the anointing will set you apart and you'll have to pay a price and you'll have to come under the attack of the enemy. But I tell you what, when you begin to learn to stand your ground, even in the midst of an attack, revelation comes concerning the nature of God. And I love what happens with David. He begins to inquire of the Lord. One of the things I'm finding about spiritual warfare and about bringing freedom to my own life and to other people's lives is that it's not in finding a particular formula. It's not in finding a particular counseling course. It's not in finding a particular workbook, although those things are good. It is inquiring of the Lord. One of the things when you begin to face battle that you need to do almost immediately, right from the outset, is not simply look for an answer in a book or in a person. It is to incline your ear to the voice of God. Spiritual warfare does not begin in trying to curse or shout at the devil. Spiritual warfare begins in relationship with a sovereign God. Something wonderful happens when you begin to incline your ear to God, when you begin to pursue Him, because it's in that context that you get design and strategy and plan as to how to walk and overcome against the schemes of the enemy. Friends, we must not be ignorant, the Bible says. The devil is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Heard some people teach saying the devil is like a lion with no teeth. The last time I checked, his bite hurts. And friends, when we come into encounters with God like we have, even this over this weekend, some of you tonight, God's going to meet with you. And this is not to put fear in your heart, because we're going to see how God works on our behalf in a moment. It's to make you aware that actually there sometimes is a price to pay. You know, grace is so wonderfully freeing. And I'm so glad I get to enjoy the grace of God. But it's that grace that empowers me to stand strong against the adversities of the enemy. Does it make sense? And David is anointed as king. I mean, this is like supposed to be an exciting moment. This is supposed to be a moment that Israel should be celebrating, but instead they go straight into warfare. You guys have just bought a building. Are you guys ready for some warfare? You guys are pressing into the miraculous. You see, the key, it's not to become overly concerned with the enemy. The key is to inquire of the Lord. Love that. David, the first thing he does is not call his commanders. It's not call his guys who've done battle with him even for a few years by now. What he does is inquire of the Lord. We must be a people who learn to pursue him in the midst of warfare, because that's what gives us victory. And it's in the midst of fighting, it's in the midst of his going, and I love this, that David discovers an aspect of God's nature that I don't think it discovered before. It says, and David came in verse 22, Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there, and he said, the Lord, he gets a revelation, the Lord has burst through my enemies before me like a bursting flood. The Lord is the God of breakthrough. The Lord is the God of bursting through, walking right through my enemies. And do you know where David learned that lesson? Is while he's going to do some battle. If you want an ever-increasing nature, ever-increasing revelation of the nature of God, you're going to have to face some things, friends. You're going to have to walk through some things. You're going to have to learn how to come into victory. You have to learn how to learn from defeat and victory. And David gets this incredible revelation that he is the God of breakthrough. There's another place where God, where the same name is used for God. And if you just turn there quickly to Micah The people of God are being oppressed. The people of God are being held under incredible captivity and oppression. And the Lord raises up a prophet. And this is what he prophesies in Micah chapter 2 and verse 12. I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob, and I will gather the remnant of Israel, and I'll set them together like sheep in a fold, like flock in its pasture, a noisy multitude of men. He who opens the breach goes up before them. They break through and pass the gate, going out by it. The king passes before them, the Lord at their head. This is speaking of the God who goes before these people, who goes before his own to break through a way, so that the people of God, when they're facing their adversaries, when they're facing the enemy, get to walk through, because their God has done mightily on their behalf. I don't know about you, but I find it absolutely exhilarating to know that my God's name is breakthrough. Is there a circumstance that you've been facing for a long time? Is there a difficulty that you said, God, when is the breakthrough going to come? Is there a particular challenge that you've been saying, God, how do I get over this? Well, the key is engaging in warfare and walking through where God has already broken through for you. That's the incredible truth. And you see, the wonderful thing is, the Bible describes Jesus as the ultimate forerunner, the one who's already broken through for us so that we can follow him right into the very presence of God. He is our breakthrough, the God who goes ahead of us. The very next thing that happens is the Philistines decide to come against him. And again, we see David saying, I inquired of the Lord. And don't you love God? He uses a totally different strategy that doesn't even seem to make any sense. One of the things I've realized in spiritual warfare and believing God for particular breakthroughs, one of the things I've realized in walking in ever-increasing anointing, is that most often, the thing that I'm facing, when I come in it at an opposite spirit, God seems to break through on my behalf. It might not make sense. It might not make even kind of like, well, this doesn't seem really logical. So for example, you know, sowing money into someone's life, you're thinking, well, I don't have money. How is it that if I sow money, I'm going to get money? Does it make sense? How is it that if someone comes against me with a particular spirit and I come back in an opposite spirit, God brings breakthrough? To me, it seems like this kingdom that we're a part of is an upside-down kingdom. You know, one would think that the kingdom of God would be established when Jesus came in incredible glitz and glamour and pomp and ceremony. But Jesus is born in a smelly, stinky manger in the back shed that's only suited for animals. The enemy had no clue. And so he had to try and kill everyone in Israel, every firstborn baby boy, because he had no clue, because God in his wisdom manifested his son in the very opposite way that the enemy would work. Can you get that? And you know, sometimes we can be facing difficulties with family. We can be facing difficulties with loved ones. We can be facing difficulties in our job. We can be facing difficulties in relationships of authority. And we think that what I need to do is fight for my right to be right. Fight for my right to be heard, when actually what God's calling you to is to serve in another spirit, because that's the nature of the kingdom. One of the things I've learned is that the Bible is true when it says that a gentle answer turns away wrath. Friends, he is the God
of the breakthrough. He goes ahead of you. And when you inquire of him, when you serve him, he begins to push through so that you pass under the gate, as it were, so that you come through, according to Micah, right through where he already has broken through for you. He is the God of breakthrough. That's his nature. That's who he is. That's the revelation of the God that you serve. You know, sometimes we can live our lives in a constant place of battle, thinking, God, when's my breakthrough going to come? Can I encourage you? Incline your ear to the Lord. Inquire of him, because he's so kind that he has already gone ahead of you to give you your breakthrough. What incredible truth. He's the God of breakthrough. He's the God of breakthrough. And God wants to release an anointing of breakthrough upon people today. Friends, it's not in formula, it's in anointing. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 10, and I think it's around about verse 27, that it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. In fact, not just breaks, it destroys the yoke. And you see, sometimes God wants you to position yourself, to incline yourself to his ear, so that as you hear what he says and you respond in faith, he meets you on the battlefield in revelation of his breakthrough power. And right now, God wants to bring breakthrough to some of you. I feel that some of you have been facing particular battles, particular issues again and again and again. And Father wants to give you breakthrough because that's his name and his nature. He's the God of breakthrough. He's the God of breakthrough. And he's the one who releases the breaker anointing. He's the one who releases an anointing to cause you to burst through like mighty water into your destiny, into the purposes that he has for you. And it comes out of relationship. I wish I could give you formulas. I am learning more and more that the day of giving people formulas as to how to do Christian life is over, because God never intended his relationship with you to be reduced to formula. It's always been about inquiring of the Lord and hearing his heart. I want to be found by an all-knowing God because I've been seeking him with all of my heart. He's the God of breakthrough.